Morning, church. How are we doing? All right. Hey, this is the one that's talking back. I like it. You're my favorite service. Don't tell the other two, okay? All right, why don't we stand on our feet and we'll do our verse of the week. We will do the reference, the verse, and the reference. 1 John 5:11-12. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. 1 John 5:11-12. Thank you so much. Those are available in the foyer on the cards as well as on our social media. Well, each week we try to highlight a ministry, a missionary. Sometimes they're global, and this week they are local. So I'm going to invite Barb Ford to come up. She oversees our godparent home, and she's going to tell us all the wonderful things that are happening and including some good things that are happening out back. Oh, I got babies coming. Oh boy, I need to hold me a baby. I love me babies. You didn't tell me this was coming. Hold on. I don't know what the rest of you are doing for the rest of the service. I know what I'm doing. I love babies.
This is a surprise. Yeah, everybody, sure. So,
this can go good
or
bad.
You.
Go
ahead. Not for
Have
you.
Have a great service.
So, thank you for having us this morning, and I just wanted to bring up the two people that really make the ministry run. This is Donna. She's the house mom at Barb's Dwelling Place, and then Michelle, who came all the way from Washington State in obedience to God's direction to be the house mom at the godparent home. Now, that's quite a commitment to leave your family in Washington State and come to Maine to be the house parents, so we are forever grateful that God called you here and you've come out of obedience, and I think that's a big thing. Give her a hand.
Absolutely.
For that. Donna and I are very thankful to have her with us. And Donna, how many years have you been with us as a house mom?
6.5.
6.5 years. That's a big deal, too. It's very typical that people that do this job only stay in it 18 to 24 months, so it's a huge deal. I want to, for those that aren't familiar with our ministry is a pro-life ministry, and we started out at first just dealing with crisis pregnancy, and in 2003 only with teenagers, and now we do crisis pregnancy at any age, and our youngest client we've ever served was 13 and up to the age of 42 now, and we certainly continue to have that as our number one goal. Is we endeavor to save the life of the unborn and the life of the mother for eternity, and so that is one of our number one, it's our number one goal. But our ministry has expanded, so one, we work with crisis pregnancy, and we also, when we're involved in the pro-life ministry, we've also expanded to work with end of life. So those that are considering assisted suicide, end of life, we also counsel people that are considering that and work with them to consider not choosing end of life and assisted suicide. And that's been a great privilege, but also something that we take very seriously. And, you know, Pastor Tom, I've asked you to join me and do that. And we just last month worked with a woman who chose life and was considering assisted suicide. And what a wonderful opportunity to just talk to her about the value of her life at the end of her life. And she chose life.
She did.
And that was a beautiful thing to be involved in. So something that God has just really laid on our ministry's heart, that life is beautiful from conception to natural death. And so that's one piece that we do. We also now, with the second home, are able to work with, in the city of Bangor, there was no shelter for women with older children. So now we are able to work with women with older children. We do the babies, but our oldest child in our shelter services is a 12-year-old. So we have everything in between. And we work with a lot of women who are experiencing domestic violence. And so there's a huge component of our program now on the domestic violence end, and that has really exploded through the pandemic. A lot of people in small spaces not able to get out, and so domestic violence is a huge component of our program now. And the third component is people experiencing mental health, chronic homelessness, and substance abuse disorder. And so those are the three pieces that I think people should know about our program. It's not just all the sweet babies, although we love them and that's exciting. We're really working with people coming out of brokenness and really trying to break that cycle. Three other things that, you know, people ask, how can we help? How you can help is, of course, number one, pray for us, that we have stamina. We have, you know, three of us that are full-time, and then we have two part-time weekend staff, Katricia and Mary. So really, you have just basically five people who are staffed to meet the needs of 26 people. So in Donna's home, she's meeting the needs of 10 people. And at Michelle's home, she's got 16 people that she feeds at night and takes care of their needs on a daily basis. Now, we all pitch in and help everybody all the time, but it's a tremendous responsibility. People coming with trauma and trying to make sure we plug them into all the services they need and making sure that all their basic needs are met as well, but also feeding them spiritually and making sure that we meet that need most of all. The other way you can help is maybe you can become a volunteer. There are so many ways to help with that. Maybe you become someone who babysits. I know, Pastor, your daughters have been babysitting for Bible study. Maybe you come and babysit so the women can go to appointments. Maybe you take women to appointments. Maybe you come help clean or organize. There's so many ways for you to get involved, and we'd love to talk to you about that. The third way is financially. We don't take any state or federal funding, and we're going to stay true to that because, well, excuse you.
That was Donna.
Anyways, the third way is financially. We don't take any state or federal funding. We rely on individuals, churches, and civic organizations and some small grants. And because we are pro-life and we are pro-Christ, we stay very true to that. And government funding is nothing we will ever get involved with. Three things that are coming up that you might want to be involved with. At the back table, after the service, there are baby bottles up there. Everybody has loose change. This will not break your budget. You come home, you've got change in your pocket, you drop it in the baby bottle. When the baby bottle is full, you leave it at the welcome center in the foyer. And we literally raise usually around $5,000 a year just from your pocket change. That doesn't break your budget, but it helps our budget. And so it's an easy way to give. The second thing you can be involved in is next Sunday, Pastor will announce, but there's going to be a Christmas tree in the back. We have 26 people to provide Christmas gifts to, and also two house moms who are single ladies. So we are going to have Christmas tree with tags on it so you can provide Christmas gifts for these families. Some of our moms have never had Christmas. I would like to have them have a nice Christmas. The third way you can be involved is next Sunday afternoon from 1 to 4. If you've always wondered, where is the home? What does it look like? What goes on there? And you'd like to just like talk to some of the ladies and hear about how God's working in their lives, we would like to invite you to come to the home next Sunday and take a tour. I think that would change people's view of what the home, spent quite a bit of time there. And being in the home gives you just a totally different understanding of what happens there. I am truly blessed to walk in those doors every day and work with these ladies and work with these ladies. But I'm humbled to be part of this ministry, and I just invite you to be part of it too.
All right, let's take some time, pray for them. I got distracted by babies. I love babies. What a great ministry. It's not just the child care, it's the family. And I couldn't imagine not having Christmas. So let's get behind this ministry and support this ministry, not just with Christmas, but with prayers and change, and just to love on these ladies as they are here, and what an opportunity and privilege we have to speak truth into their lives. So let's pray for them, and then we will continue to look at the cuteness on the stage. Lord, we're so thankful for the godparent home. Thankful for Barb and for Donna, for Michelle, for Catrice, and for Mary, for all the hard work they do, the hours, the conversations that they have with these ladies. I pray blessing on these ladies that are here. Pray that you might help them to know, understand, realize, and apply that you love them with an everlasting love. I thank you for the opportunity they have for freedom and for safety and for the love that they can have, for the ministry that's happening to them, for the babies that are on the stage, for those that are in the nursery, and for those that are not babies that are at the end of their life and continuing to fulfill the days that you have written in your book for them. I pray blessings on them as well. Pray that you might continue to keep them safe and that you might continue to minister to them as they get their feet back underneath them. We pray that you might continue to help them to build community with one another and then to build into the church here that they may be able to grow in their relationship with you most of all. We're so thankful for the leadership and for the ladies that speak life into them. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right, make sure to see them in the back and make sure to take a baby bottle. And next week we will have that open house, so make sure you spend time with them, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't pinch the baby, Michelle. All right, we're going to be in Luke chapter 17 this morning. I want to take you back to a time. It's October 2021. There's a cough in the house. I have fall allergies. It's okay. It's playoff season for soccer. I got one girl in middle school, one girl in high school. The teams are going into the playoffs. And somebody comes out with a cough and a fever, and there's no taste. Oh, no. Can you just go back in and pretend that didn't happen? There's no room. There's no margin. And we said, we love you. We'll see you in 10 days. You're grounded. And so began the 10 days. The first 2 days were wonderful. The first 2 days, we got Netflix and we got Disney Plus. It was wonderful. We could be outside. We could enjoy each other. We love our family. Day 4, day 5, day 6, day 8, we're really contemplating, do we love each other? Why are you laughing? Your family says the same thing. Day 8. Second person starts with a cough. Oh no, we cannot reset the clock. Please don't reset the clock. We're almost there. There's almost hope. Day 10 comes, cough goes away. COVID tests are done. They're all negative. Praise the Lord. We're coming out with a vengeance. It's a familiar story for all of us, isn't it? We've either had it, we've been impacted by it. We think it's fun, we think it's serious, but we don't understand the suffering that is there until you live in complete isolation. But as you have it, you think to yourself, it's not that bad. I still have all my technology. I still have Disney Plus. I still have Netflix. I still have Amazon Prime. I still have Walmart.com delivery. Is it really that bad? Could you imagine living in a time where if you got leprosy, life ended? Could you imagine living with a disease that you looked at your family and said, I'll never see you again. Short of God doing a miracle or a work in my body, we will never spend another moment together. Just imagine the pain and the devastation. Just imagine the thankfulness you were had if you were healed. Just think about the last time you were in quarantine and you came out. How excited were you? I will only speak for the extrovert that I am. I'm pretty excited. And I'll tell you about that in a couple minutes. But we're in Luke chapter 17, so get your copy of God's word this morning as we look at a very familiar story, the 10 lepers that were cleansed. And I don't want to miss an opportunity to remind us this story has not changed. Our understanding of this story has changed because we've been living socially distant lives for the last 2 years. So maybe we can understand more of what's going on in the lives of these 10 men as we read God's word this morning. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. While he, being Jesus, was on the way to Jerusalem. Why is he going to Jerusalem? He's going to Jerusalem to die. It's the end of his earthly ministry, and he has come to earth for one purpose. To die. To die the death he does not need to die so that you and I can have life that we don't necessarily deserve only because we get it through the sacrifice of Christ. And Jesus is on the road headed to Jerusalem. He does know that this is coming. He understands that this is why he was here. Now, sometimes we get distracted. Maybe you don't, but I do. Usually it's by something about this big and about that wide that bings a lot with notifications from all the different apps that I have, for all the emails that come in, and sometimes I can become distracted. Sometimes you can become distracted. Jesus is on the road. He's got a date with death. That's a horrific death. But yet he does not miss an opportunity to minister to people. The one thing I was challenged with this week as I study is sometimes I get so busy doing so many things, I forget about the people in my life. And so the first challenge I have, this is an extra one just for free, is don't be so busy in life that you let life pass you by and miss the people. Jesus is walking on the road. He's headed to Jerusalem. He's going between these two towns of Samaria and Galilee, two regions that do not like each other, and yet he is not putting his head down thinking, how can I get through this as quick as I can? He's got his head up looking at who can I minister to. And I don't want us to get so busy trying to push through life that we forget the opportunity that there are people that are hurting, that are looking for hope. So let's not get so busy here that we forget to look out here. That's to me first and to you second. So he's on his way to Jerusalem and he stops by and there's a village. And in this village, he entered such a village and he's going to meet 10 lepers. I really wrestled this week with showing you pictures of leprosy, you know, because I'm fascinated with the medical field. I decided not to show you pictures and tell you about leprosy. You know, leprosy is still around today, but we don't call it leprosy. We call it Hansen's disease. It's probably not really prevalent here in America, but overseas in Africa, very prevalent. Back in Jesus' time, it was associated with sin. If you had leprosy, it's because you had sin in your life and the leprosy came out as leprosy, or the sin came out as leprosy. So you were leprous and you were sinful. Leprosy was transmitted by touch or by your breath. I've heard that somewhere before. I just can't figure out where. And see, what happens when you have leprosy is you have to stand at a distance. You know how much? 6 feet. I've heard that somewhere before. I just can't figure out where. I have a better question to ask you. Where have you not seen that in the last 2 years? I don't want to take and make light of the situation, but look at the biblicalness of what we've gone through. Where do you think they got all the COVID standards? God's word. So leprosy, really what happens is it deadens your nerves. So you don't feel pain. So for instance, you would slam your finger in the door. You would get a cut or bacteria. You couldn't feel pain. And because you couldn't feel pain, you just kept on going and it would deform your body. Deformity would cause you to look different. It would eat your face, it would eat your nose, your ears. It started at your extremities and it worked up your arms. I could say it's painful. It's more emotionally painful than physical painful because you can't feel the pain. But could you imagine walking around, someone comes close, unclean! I'm unclean! With no hope of ever seeing and being with the ones that I love. Because as fun or as interesting or as much as we can relate to it, having COVID with your family, you're still with your family. Having leprosy, you walk away never seeing your family again. So these 10 lepers are here. And they're standing at a distance. I have two references for you. The first one is Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 12. And then Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 3. Two instances of other people that have leprosy, and they charge right into Jesus. Now, a leprous person would not touch another person, but these lepers and these other two passages, Luke chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 8, they want healing, so they charge into Jesus. These 10 guys, they're standing, they're socially distant. 2 years ago, we never thought about this, did we? Never. So these 10 leprous men who are in a hopeless state, they're together. They stood at a distance and they met him and they raised their voices. The last thing about leprosy that is really interesting is it causes a deadness in your nerves. It also can affect your vocal cords so that you are not able to call out. So these guys, if leprosy did affect their vocal cords, they raised their voice. Remember, what are they always used to saying? Unclean! Stay away! Now they're raising their voice and they're saying, Jesus! Master! They're not looking for Jesus to teach me something. They're not saying, Jesus, Rabbi. They're looking at Jesus and they're saying, Master. This idea comes from healer, commander, chief. So if we really want to put in what these 10 guys are calling out, they're saying, Jesus, healer. There's no other place I can go but to Jesus himself to heal me. And why do they know? Luke chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 8. They've heard about him. It's at the end of his life. He's got a crowd of people around him. They know that this guy can be the one person that can heal. Jesus, healer, have mercy. Help me because I cannot help myself. I don't like to ask for help. I don't know. I do know why. Because I'm prideful. Because if I ask for help, that means there's something I cannot do. And real men don't ask for help. Right? Ladies, that was your chance. You missed it. You missed it. Real men don't ask for directions. Okay, some of you are with me on that one. We don't ask for help because we think it shows weakness, because we think it shows vulnerability. But these 10 men, I don't know how long they've been there. Have they been there a day, a week, a month, 20 years? I don't know. But here's what I do know. They're living together in a helpless and hopeless situation. And here comes Jesus walking down. I need him. Healer, help me. How about you? The first question that I really want to camp on this morning is, have you come to a place where you have acknowledged that you need help. We have come and we have sang praises. How I long to breathe the air of heaven. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Great hymns, great songs of our faith. And yet we come and we go, I just want to do it myself. And see, this relationship with Christ, it comes when I understand I can't do this myself. I've tried every single way possible, and yet I find myself in the same situation, helpless. And here comes Jesus saying, I have come that you might have life, but it's a gift that you have to receive. Maybe you've come here this morning and you've had a bad day. You've had a bad week. It's been a bad couple years. And you're at a place of helplessness and hopelessness. I would love to introduce you to the man that can give you hope. His name is Jesus Christ. But for you to accept him, you have to ask and have to admit, I need help. And sometimes what happens is we have asked, we need help. And we forget just how lost we were. We forget just how bad it was. And so this week of Thanksgiving, it's a great opportunity for us to sit back and remember and to say, thank you, Lord, because I was there at one time. This passage over these last 2 years has meant more to me about being thankful because I understand just a little bit as we have lived socially distant lives. It's not fun. But yet we can be very thankful for all that we have. So if you would say, yes, I have acknowledged that I needed help, when's the last time you said, thank you, Jesus, for helping me? We'll come back to that thought in a minute. When he saw them, so Jesus is around a group of people. If you look at the context in Luke chapter 17, in verse 1, it says he said to his disciples. So at least he has the 12. I would submit to you, he's got a crowd around him. I don't know the crowd. I'm not willing to die for that. But I think he's got quite a crowd around him because it's the end of his life. And people are looking at him for the miracles. They're looking at him for the message. So he's got a group of people that are around him, at least the disciples. And when he saw these 10, remember, he's not so busy thinking about the death that he has to live. He's up looking around, seeing who he can minister to. And he looks at these 10, and he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. All right, your second reference is Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. It gives us two chapters of how to handle leprosy. These guys, they knew what they needed to do. The priests were the ones to declare them clean because the Jewish people thought leprosy had to deal with sin. So they would go and they would have to wait 8 days for this miracle or for this cleansing to be satisfied that there's no leprosy. 8 days later, they are free. If you will, they have to wait for their negative leprosy test. We understand that now, don't we? And so they wait 8 days. Just step back. These guys, they have leprosy. You don't just get rid of leprosy. You don't take a pill and get rid of leprosy. It takes a miracle. And these 10 guys are going to the priest. And a natural reading, I want to be careful. The priest is going to say, how did you become healed? Funny you should ask. His name was Jesus. What's verse 11 say Jesus is doing? He's going to Jerusalem to die. Who's going to kill him? The chief priests and leaders, the priests. And so these 10 men are going to have 8 days to proclaim the goodness of God to the very people that are trying to kill Jesus. Don't miss that. So he says, go and show yourself to the priest. You need to leave. but they're not healed yet. Look at what the next section says. As they were going, I looked at every single commentary that I had. Nobody says how far they went. That's one of my questions. So I submit this to you as my personal opinion. This is just my opinion. And I want to be careful. I don't think that Jesus healed them on the first step. Go, show yourself to the priest. They turned and they were healed. I think it took them some time. I don't know how far. But just imagine these guys walking going, I thought he would have healed me just like he did in Luke chapter 5. But Jesus is challenging them to walk in obedience. And friends, sometimes obedience is hard. And these 10 men, they had this expectation. I thought he would heal me. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. They're continuing to walk in obedience. And then this guy looks down. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Just imagine the joy. Just imagine how joyful you are when that negative COVID test comes back. You're pretty happy, right? Life can go back to normal. Are you with me? Because this is what I thought just last month. My life can go back to normal. Oh, we were happy. We were happy. Let's go, let's go. Just imagine how happy those 10 were when they saw that they were healed. And they weren't just healed of leprosy. Some commentators think they were restored of all the physical deformities that the leprosy took away. It's another question I have with the text. Now, one of them, how many are there? Okay, it sounds like you said 10. Now, one of them, that's 10% for those of you who teach math. You see how quick I did that on the fly? You're not impressed because it's a third service. I understand. It's all right. Now, one of them, one of the 10, when he saw that he had been healed, he turned back. Let me stop. I'm not against the 9. Because I was one of the 9 just last month. Because I reflected and I mourned and I was frustrated with all that I had, quote, lost for those 10 days. Are you with me? I was so excited I got my negative COVID test. First place I went, Hannaford, to get my cookies and cream ice cream. I never stopped to think about and say thank you. I was so busy trying to get back to life. So I look at these 9, and within the last 6 weeks, my opinion of the 9 has changed because I'm one of the 9. So busy trying to get back. Gotta get back to work. Gotta get back. Gotta get back. Gotta get back. Gotta get back to soccer. Gotta get back to work. Gotta get to go, go, go. These 9, they were looking to get to the priest as soon as possible so that that clock could start on day 1. I want to get back to my family. Nothing wrong with that. But look at the 1. When one of them, when he saw that he'd been healed, he turned, he returned. I don't know how far he went. And I can tell you it was a lot quicker when he came back than when he walked away. He came back with a quickness in his step. He was glorifying God with a loud voice. He used his voice to bring praises to the Lord because God had done so much in his life. Now again, look back at verse 11. He's walking into town. He's at least got his 12 disciples. At least. This guy, he doesn't care who's with him. He's hooting and hollering in a much respectful way as soon as he sees the city. Hey guys, I've been healed. I've been healed. And he's letting everybody know. Just like when your child scores that goal or shoots that game-winning basket, and you're kind of sort of, oh, hey, good job. Is that what you do? That's not what I do. This guy comes back glorifying God with a loud voice. He doesn't stop there. Look what he does. His actions. He fell on his face at his feet. He pushed through the crowd, and he is falling on his face, worshiping Jesus. When's the last time God did something so miraculous in your life that you had to take that response? This guy started his day living in a hopeless and helpless situation, and now he has been healed. In his response, vocally and with actions, he's bringing glory to God. My question to you, are you glorifying and worshiping Jesus? Are you like the one that has stopped everything to worship the Lord with your actions and with your words? Are you glorifying the Lord? Or are you like the nine? You're thankful. I believe that the nine are thankful, but they're trying to get back to life. Which one are you like? The one that stops, returns, takes time out of their schedule to worship and honor and magnify the Lord? Or are you going to the priest saying, hey, yep, thanks, God, appreciate that. I got to get back to life. What a great question. And the moment of vulnerability with you, because I only teach you what God has taught me throughout the week. I've been living my life like the nine. And I believe God wants us to live our life like the one, where we slow down and we worship the Lord. Because this guy was truly grateful. And he didn't care who saw what. He was a leper man that now is fully restored, and he will not be stopped. What would your life look like if you lived your life like that? Now, Jesus, he's got these folks with him again. He's got the 12, at least the 12. Jesus answered and said, "Where there are not 10 cleansed?" Great leadership lesson. He's asking a question. He's asking a rhetorical question. Jesus knows. Jesus is not sitting here saying, hey, I'm confused. No, Jesus is using a teachable moment. If he has the 12, who were the 12? 12 Jewish men following Christ. And he's looking at them saying, hey, guys, hey, weren't there 12? Well, I don't know. Were there 12? He's using the question to drive home the point. Questions call for an answer. Questions call for engagement so that we can think through what's being said and what's being taught. It's why I ask questions. I come to God's word asking questions. I come bringing questions to you so you go, oh, that's an interesting question. Hoping that it causes you to pause and think. Jesus is doing the same thing. Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the nine? Where are they? You know the nine that left? The nine that left and didn't return were the Jews. The one that came back was the non-Jew, the Samaritan. We'll get there in a minute. Jesus says, was no one found who returned to give glory to God. This guy's here worshiping. And he's a foreigner. He doesn't even live in this land. He's a Samaritan. He is, with much respect, a pagan. He doesn't even know God. He doesn't even worship God. He doesn't know about God in the Old Testament. He doesn't know about the covenants and the promises. But yet, he's the only one that returned. And I just wonder. I wondered a lot this week. What were the disciples' response? Oh, wow. Good point. We should be thankful. I would submit to you, we as Christians should be the most thankful people on the face of God's green earth. Because when you come and understand just how broken we are, just how lost I was and just what my sin has cost Christ. I should be the most thankful person ever because I was deep in debt. And Jesus said, it's paid in full. And I walk away scratch free. And Jesus was crucified. I should be the most thankful person ever. You know what sometimes I do? I complain. Sometimes I'm not thankful. But this week has been a challenge for me. I want to live my life like the one and not like the nine. Because I have been saved from so much, I should be thankful. So Jesus, he said to the Samaritan, stand up and go. Stand up. Cease your worship right now. Stand up and leave. Why? Because your faith has made you well. He came to Jesus with a problem. The problem was leprosy. The physical deformities, the social distance, he had all those problems. He came to Jesus looking for physical help. He left Jesus with a brand new relationship. And this morning you might be here, coming for whatever reason, you're looking for hope. Someone invited you. Someone promised you lunch after church if you would just sit through for an hour. And you've come. And you go, that's it. You've come for one reason. You've come for hope. The hope comes at the cross. Because Jesus came to pay the debt that he did not owe. Because you and I had a debt we could never pay. And this guy returned, and Jesus looks at him and says, you're whole and you're clean, not just physically, but spiritually. One commentator said this. He said, the Samaritan's nine friends were declared clean by the priest, but the Samaritan was declared saved by the Son of God. And friends, I want to leave here not being declared clean, if you will. Hey, you look good. I want to leave here declared saved because I have put my faith and trust in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't want you to leave here looking good. I want you to leave here being declared saved by the Son of God. And if you would look at me and say, with all honesty, I have not. Today could be that day. And that man, just think about the day he had. If it was a Tuesday, let's call it a Tuesday. Tuesday he woke up. He was leprous, helpless, hopeless, alone, living in isolation. And by the end of the day, he was clean, he was restored, he was healed, and he was a worshiping man because he met the risen Savior. What a change in your life can be when you meet Jesus. And that man stood up, being declared clean and healed by the Son of God. And he left with assurance. This morning, I ask you, are you leaving here with assurance? Because you can leave here saying, oh, I think and hope. Friend, I would ask you and tell you, you can leave here with the assurance that Jesus paid it all. And our response would be thankful. Your homework this week, I'm going to give you homework. I'm going to kind of look in on you. Hashtag thankful. Some of you, the glow of God's word is among you. It's your phone. What if today you would just hashtag thankful for? I'm thankful for. And then tomorrow you got up. I'm thankful for hashtag thankfulness. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, hashtag thankful. I'm thankful for this. But here's the radical thing. You can handle it because you're third service. What if we didn't stop on Thursday? What if we went to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and on? Because we should be thankful people. Because God has done so much. We can leave here full of assurance because Jesus has cleansed us and made us clean. Three questions from the text. Are you ready to receive help? Have you come to that spot where you realize I cannot do it myself? You ready to ask for help? When you ask for help and you receive it, their natural response is glorifying God and worshiping Him with your voice and with your actions. And then you can leave here knowing that you're not just hopefully being clean. You can leave here knowing that who the Son has set free, you will be free indeed. And that will lead to hashtag thankful. Let's close our time in a word of prayer. As you close your Bibles and you start thinking about lunch and picking up the kids and all that, I don't want to miss an opportunity to pray for you as a pastor. I'm not looking to call you out. I'm not looking to embarrass you. I'm just looking to pray. Maybe you've been challenged by God's word today, and I'd just like to pray for you. Is there anybody here that you slip up your hand and just say, you know, Tom, I'm ready to receive help. Would you pray for me? See that one hand? See that hand? Is there anybody else? Three hands. Is there anybody else here this morning who says, would you pray for me, Tom? Because I have received help, but in honesty, I haven't been glorifying the Lord with my voice and with my actions. Would you pray that starting today, I can be like that one man, not caring who's around, but just worshiping the Lord? I see that one hand. Two, three, four. Looks like five. Is there anybody here who says, Tom, would you pray that I can leave here in full assurance to know and believe that I have been set free? See that hand. Thank you. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. Lord, help us. Help us to be like the one. To slow down life. To return and to worship and glorify you. Lord, help us to lift up our voices. Help us to show with our actions that we are truly thankful. Pray for those that have lifted up their hand that says, I need to ask for help. Pray that you might put aside pride and put aside all that hinders and reach out and cry out and say, I need help. Pray, Lord, that we might leave here full of assurance, knowing that those in whom Jesus has set free will be free indeed. Lord, help us to leave here truly grateful people for all that you have done. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.
Let's all stand together this morning as we prepare to leave. We are so glad that you have come to join us. Thank you, Pastor. We trust that you have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving this week. If you did have an opportunity to fill out a guest card or a prayer card, if you could drop that in the boxes as you leave by each door. Also, Barb is in the back. If you'd like to pick up a baby bottle or talk to her, how you can get involved in the godparent home, I know she would appreciate that very, very much. Pastor Tom, as I mentioned, and some of our other pastors are in the back, so if you have any questions about God or the message this morning, I know that they would love to speak and pray with you. So let's pray together as we leave. Father, thank you for another Sunday of life that you've given us to serve you, to gather together as a body of believers here at Crosspoint. And as we leave this place, I pray, God, that we would be reminded of the lesson today, and that, Lord, that we would be more thankful because of what you've done for us on the cross. Give us a great week of rest and relaxation during this Thanksgiving holiday time. For those that are traveling, we pray, God, that you would give them safety. And Lord, we look forward already to rejoining next Sunday as we worship together. And all of God's people said, hey guys, have a great Thanksgiving. You are dismissed.